Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So a little bit hard to hear in one ear this morning, but we'll see how we go. Just kind of hear myself. So a little story behind my topic today. So I was talking with a brother from the Hutt Ecclesia about his exile on 1 Corinthians 12 and the story of the body, that we're all different parts, but from the whole body. And each part has a different function, of course, but we all serve a purpose. So I was actually going to use his exhort to fill last week's spot, as it was on short notice. But we did our recorded talk last Sunday, thankfully. So instead I've got something in my own words to share with you this morning, which is really good. So our goal this morning is to look at this story from Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and to appreciate that we're all different, yet we can work together to create something better than if we were apart. So to set the scene, let's just step back for a moment and take a quick look at the backstory that leads to Paul including this story about a body in his letter. So just pick the selection of verses that I want to read out to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to 11, starting with chapter 1. And I'm just going to go through these quickly, so feel free to listen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. Verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. In verse 20 of chapter 1, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And verse 31, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. So with these few verses, we've skipped over a lot of the content of 1 Corinthians, but we can see that even before we get to chapter 12 about the body, that Paul keeps pointing out the importance of being together in the Lord. So let's read a few more verses. Chapter 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? 7, verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned him, to which God has called him. This is my rule to all the churches. 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and from whom we exist, whom are all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. 9 verse 27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. And 2 more, 10 verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. 11 verse 33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So again, with these verses, we can roughly see that Paul keeps hinting at this idea of being together and using the talents we have. So that brings us to chapter 12 and our thoughts for today. So it seems clear that the Ecclesia in Corinth, they were having a few issues around who was more important or what was the best in terms of gifts and abilities that they each had. And Paul uses this situation to paint an encouraging picture for us. Chapter 12, it starts by making us aware that those who are of God would not curse the name of Jesus, but rather proclaim it. And the key part, the start of the chapter, in verses 4 and 5, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. So I think this sets the tone for chapter 12. While we may not have the same Spirit laid on us like the time of the apostles, we all do have different abilities, don't we? And we take different paths in life, But we have the same Lord who gave us that life, who gave us the opportunity to develop our characters, to serve Him in more fully. And we may put in the hard work and we learn different things, but ultimately it is God who we can thank for giving us the ability to comprehend and learn. So in verse 6, there are varieties of results, but it is the same God who produces all results in everyone. So we all have distinct personalities and traits, don't we, that we're born with. And we can and we do adapt over time. But we are created in the image of God, with a template that is sufficient for us to produce results fitting for our God, and to work with all of those around us. So in verses 7 and 8, to the one who has been given a message of wisdom by the Spirit, to another the ability to speak with knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and so on. But the key to this is in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit produces all these results and gives what He wants to each person. So to liken this idea to a little story, so I have some fairly unruly, curly hair at times, and the unruly part is mostly my own fault, but often look at people with straight hair and think, how much better or more convenient it would be. But when my hair isn't so unruly, I've had people say, hey James, your hair is fairly nice and curly. And the thing is, we each want what somebody else has. But neither of us is better than the other. There's pros and cons to both. So the lesson here is that we should appreciate the things and the abilities that we do have, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the hill. I'm sure getting up in the morning is just a little bit easier with straight hair. So referring back to what I just said, the grass isn't always greener though. So let's look at the next bit from verse 12 onwards. Where we have the story about the body that is often taught in Sunday school, because it paints an easy picture to understand, doesn't it? So looking at verses 12 to 14, for just as the body is one, and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, form a single body, so it is with the Messiah. For by one Spirit, all of us, Jews, Greeks, slaves and free, were baptized into one body, and we're all privileged to drink from one Spirit, for the body does not consist of only one part, but of many. So we form parts of the body, of the Bayek and the Ecclesia, but more importantly, we are part of the larger body of Christ, aren't we? With our varied personalities and talents. So we can't do without each other, as we read in verses 15 to 17. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, that does not make it any less a part of the body, does it? And if the ear says, since I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, that does not make it any less a part of the body, does it? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And the next verse tells us that our God, He has arranged the parts, and that's us. He's arranged us according to His plan. And the body simply wouldn't work if we're all only good at, say, at preaching or at singing, but no one was good at organizing. We'd fall apart, wouldn't we? So reading on in verses 19 and 20. Now, if all of it were one part, there wouldn't be a body, would there? So there are many parts, but one body. We have all been arranged by God. We can't all be the same parts. And sometimes, little do we know, some parts or members of the body that we thought did nothing can actually play a central role in keeping a body together and functioning under the surface. And as we read in verses 21 through to 23, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are in fact indispensable. And the parts of the body that we think are less honourable are treated with special honour, and we make our less attractive parts more attractive. It's our God who's put the body together in such a way that all of us, all these parts, have their place. Consider the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. The mourners will be comforted. The meek shall inherit the earth. The peacemakers are called the children of God, and so on. All parts serve a purpose and have a fitting blessing from God. All parts of the body can cause the body to suffer as well, as we read in verses 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. But on the contrary, if one part is praised, every part rejoices with it. So we do our best to build up the body of the Messiah and to prevent the body from suffering, don't we? Because we are all part of the Messiah's body. We're all these individual parts that make up the whole. But there are a few key roles in the body. As we read in verse 28, God has appointed in the church, first, all apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then those who perform miracles, those who have gifts of healing, those who help others, administrators, those who speak various kinds of languages. Paul's making a little bit of a point here that more important than the running of the church, above the miracles, above the gifts of healing, above the languages, that there's three roles that he mentions, that we can all serve in various capacities to different people around us. First, apostles. That is, those that are sent forth with a message. And that's us. We've all been commanded to spread the message of the Messiah. Second, prophets. Those that interpret the teaching of God, inspired or not. And thirdly, teachers. Those who teach the details of the Word of God. So we can be these three things to others in different capacities, can't we? In our ecclesias, maybe in personal discussion, maybe in serving behind the scenes, or out in the open. But even these things, they're secondary to one other thing that we read in verse 31. Keep on desiring the better gifts, and now I will show you the best way of all. And Paul does go on to explain the best way of all in the next chapter, which is, of course, love and its various forms. But that is a topic for another day. So back to the idea of the body. Let's consider some maybe inconvenient points. So it's important to talk about our strengths and our weaknesses, I think. Because if we don't know which part of the body we are, we could feel lost. And we do feel lost. So no matter the path in life that we take, every person needs to do something to be involved and to use our strengths, don't we? Otherwise, we suffer the feeling of being outcast. And religion and ecclesias are no different, are they? So it's no good sitting, if we sit back and do nothing, we must find a way that we can slot into a group. Now, there's so many different ways we can do this, aren't there? Whether it be taking a front-facing role or supporting others from behind the scenes. Maybe an unseen phone call or a message. Or even being that encouraging smile each Sunday that's always there. Because each role, they all contribute to this whole, and it has its place in the building up of the body and of the ecclesia. So we also need to be keenly aware of our weaknesses, don't we? If we flounder around and never work on improving our weaknesses, then we risk creating all sorts of issues in the body. So as an example, I often struggle to get to things in a fully woken up state. And the thing is, if I do that, I can do a sloppy job of something, or I'm not as responsive as I want to be to my brothers and sisters. And we all have various things. I've got many other weaknesses to work on. But the point is, I encourage you to consider your own traits, and especially to ask others around you what they think your strengths and weaknesses are. Because it's often we can't clearly see our own abilities, can we? So yes, over lunch, for those that stick around, you have to throw me the bad, but also don't forget to mention the good. And it's important to know where our strengths and weaknesses lay, and take feedback from others. Because it is an inconvenient truth, I suppose, that we're not always the one for a particular job. Whether it be that there is someone better than us, or whether maybe it won't work out for the best and cause more harm than good. And sometimes, so this is a point actually I borrowed from the excerpt from the brother from the hut. And he said, sometimes the best course of action we can take is to step back and do nothing. Or better yet, maybe we let someone else who has the ability to do something do it. Or we encouragingly nudge them into it. Especially if they are not aware or confident of their ability. So as a side story, I recall back before I'd presided or exhorted, or I think even given a prayer, our brother John here, he just kept nudging me and encouraging me to get involved. And I believe John could see the importance of getting involved. He knew how much of a benefit it would be to me, but not only that, it turns out, I think those early nudges from John, it benefits the ecclesia as a whole, doesn't it? In the long run, by getting me more actively involved. And it's the same for our Sunday school, isn't it? Many of us, we've been involved in Sunday school from time to time, maybe a special lesson or on a more regular basis. And it's benefited us all, or it will benefit us all in the long term as our next generation grows up. So I'm not the only one who's had these nudges. I'm sure you can all recall someone or something in our lives who has gently nudged us or sometimes given us an outright push. But it generally turns out for the better. So in just a note here, age is no barrier to discovering new things that we're capable of. So I'll use our brother John as an example again. He's wise in years, but if we recall the seminars over the past several years, our brother John has developed a bit of an ability to use different computer software for Bible study and to create slideshow presentations to share with everyone that attended. Anyway, so I've been praising our brother John here, but really I could say the same of all of you. But more importantly, who is it that gives us these gifts? Yes, our bodies are God-given, aren't they? And we all use them differently to develop skills, traits and opinions, etc. to work our way through life. And some things we develop are more helpful and some are not. But these differences, they can create conflicts. But what is this message in the Corinthians been teaching us about differences? Well, simply that all people, in all groups, we do have different characters. But each one is important when we're properly using our strengths for God's purpose, for the building up of the ecclesia, which of course is the body of Christ that we all are a part of. So, as we come to our finishing thoughts for this morning, we'll soon come to focus on our meeting together and the plan that God has laid out for us through His Son, and how every one of us has a part to play in this. So our Lord Jesus, who we come to remember every Sunday, He's the biggest part of the plan of God, and it is by His life and His example that we too can be a part of God's plan. We strive to imitate Christ, don't we? And we fail at times, but with the help of those around us, with all our different talents and abilities, we can all do different things that complement each other. And our weaknesses, they can be complemented in return, of course, as we walk together in God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17 reads, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." So when we remember Jesus and His emblems, remember how thankful we can be of His example and of those around us that we can work with in this goal of serving our God with our different abilities and talents, but as one whole body, the body of Christ.